You bore our sins on the cross of Calvary. You died and paid the price for our sins. And you redeemed us from death and destruction. And gave us a new life that we can be forever with you, Father God. We are so grateful for all that you have done. Jesus, we thank you. This morning, our hearts are filled with gratitude for all that you have done in our lives. Father, help us to be always humble and grateful for everything that we have received from you this morning. We give you all the glory this morning as we are, Lord, turning to your word. We pray that you speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, give us clear instructions and direction of how to move forward in the coming days. We want to thank you for everything. We bless your name. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated in the presence of God. Hallelujah. What a wonderful time the Lord has given us to enjoy in worship. I love the worship. I love the time that we are together like this, and I praise God for that. This morning, I want to continue where we started a few weeks ago. I hope you did not forget about where we started. We had started on a journey. We were going through the teachings from the book of Ephesians. If you remember, we started on the book of Ephesians as we looked into the theme called Connected, My Life in the Church. Connected. We are all connected. Whether we like it or not, the one sitting next to you is your brother, your sister for life. There's nothing you can do. Some of the brothers and sisters say, so why I got this brother? Why I got this sister? There's nothing you can do. I mean, the person is born living next to you, occupying your home, staying, and there's nothing you can do. That's the same way. We are all joined for life. We are all brothers and sisters. We are all connected. The previous weeks, I spoke about two different topics. Number one, we are connected by prayer. And that is one of the things I believe that the Lord has been speaking to us through the fasting prayer, that when we pray, let's not just pray for our own family, for our own selves. Let's pray for the family of God. Let's pray for things outside, and we are connected by prayer. And we read through Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 15 to 23 on that subject. And the week after, I spoke about how we are connected by God's grace. Devathinte Kruva. You know, we are all connected because of the grace of God. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 1 to 10, we looked into that topic and said we are all connected only by the grace of God. I mean, it's not because of something we have done, it's because of His grace that He has poured out into our life. Today I want to speak on the third subject, and it is so pertinent because we have been speaking about this so far, is that we are connected through Jesus Christ. We are all connected through Jesus Christ, who is our big brother, who is our elder brother, who is the first of the first fruits, and He has connected us all by joining us together to His family. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Ephesians chapter 2. We are going to read a few verses and we are going to discuss about a few things that we can understand about our life together. This is our life together. Brothers and sisters, we are in this together. Ephesians chapter 2, I'm going to read from verses 11 to verse number 22. The rest of chapter 2 of the book of Ephesians. This is what we read. Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off, now have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who made both one and has broken the middle wall of separation, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in Himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. May God add his blessings to this word. Long time, a few years ago, there was a castle in the English coast owned by a landlord, but nobody was living in that castle. Because of that, there was people coming in from outside and they were destroying the castle and going out. So the owner of the castle, he hired a contractor and he told him to build a nice rock wall around the castle. The fee was agreed and the contractor began his work. But after a short time, the contractor was finding trouble finding rocks for the wall. So he called the owner to complain about the situation. And the owner replied to him very sharply, "I don't care from where you get the rocks. I just want you to build that wall." And sometime later, the owner came to see the progress of the work and he found a beautiful high wall made of nice rocks, and he was very impressed. And what a fine work this contractor has done. It was a perfect wall for his castle. And after examining the wall, he went inside, and what he found was that there was no castle remaining anymore. Because what happened, this contractor, he found all the rocks that was fallen from the castle. He took all of them and built a beautiful wall around, but there was no castle remaining. And that was a story that happened. And we feel it very funny that somebody would do that. I mean, would somebody be so prejudiced so to build a wall that they are destroying whatever is there inside the wall? Many times we are protecting something that we cherish, so we build a wall around us. We try to guard from other people. But what happens is that when a wall is built, we are tearing up everything that is of value, everything that God wants to do in our lives. I know you all remember the famous Berlin Wall in Germany. This wall was constructed in August 13th of 1961. It was a 25-mile long wall. It was put in the heart of the city of Berlin. The city of Berlin was divided by this wall. And it was really a part of a bigger, larger wall that we were knowing as the Iron Curtain. So the Berlin Wall symbolized the separation of East Germany with West Germany. It had barbed wires. It had concrete segments. There was an illuminated control area, which is called the death area. If any refugees would try to climb the wall, try to go from the East Germany to the West, the guards would shoot them without warning. They put a trench after the wall so that vehicles cannot cross across to the other side. And then there was a patrol truck. There was a corridor with watchdogs. There was watchtowers. There was bunkers. Then they built a second wall. And the reason was that they did not want people from the East Germany to cross over to the western side and get refuge there, because the people was suffering in the East Germany. And history tells that more than 100 people were killed at the Berlin Wall trying to scale it to cross the other side. But do you know that one day that wall came down in November 9th of 1989. And what a rejoicing it was. People were rejoicing and dancing in the streets because the walls have come down. Now, in our text this morning, as we read, it says that there was a wall. In fact, Apostle Paul, when he's writing about the wall that was created, there was a literal 5-foot high wall that separated the Gentiles from entering into the temple of Jerusalem. This wall represented the prejudice. It was a burning issue between the Jews and the Gentiles, because the Jews did not want to share God with the Gentile people. They were kept separate. There was a dividing wall of hostility, not between just the Jews and the Gentiles, but between all people. But do you know what God did? He decided, no, I'm not going to occupy myself in one group of people. I am the God of all flesh. I am the God of all people. And so God decided to create a whole humanity. And so we read in Galatians chapter 3, verse number 28 like this. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor a free man. There is neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. You are all one in Christ Jesus. Does not matter what is your pre-degree, whatever is your background, from where you have come, but you are all one in Christ. Can we just lift up our hands and glorify the Lord? Amen. Thank God that there is no discrimination with God, because He made us all one. But do you know this was done by our Lord Jesus? He did it. So this morning, for a few minutes, I want to tell you, there are three things that Jesus did for us. We should never forget. And next time when you see somebody who is not like you, don't approach that person with a jaundiced look and with glasses of whatever you have in the background. Because God is not looking at anybody with that kind of a colored glass. He loves everyone. He loves everyone in this world. And He has come to die for every person in this world. God is not limited to one group of people or one segment. He is a God of all people. And that is why Jesus achieved all that. Let me give you three things what Jesus did for us. And we have to be so grateful to Him. Number one, when we read from verse number 11 to verse number 18. And I'm going to quickly tell you, I'm not going to go into a lot of depth. But I'll tell you what Jesus did. Number one, Jesus gave us access into God's kingdom. You know, if anybody has to enter into this church premises, you need access. There is this church is armed when nobody is there. You cannot just break open, because the police will come in a few minutes. You need to have access to enter into this church when nobody is here. Into entering into the kingdom of God, people needed access. They did not have the access before Jesus, because it was limited to the Jews. I want us to all appreciate that. The kingdom of God was limited to the Jewish people because it was through Abraham. But Jesus, what he did is that we will give access to everybody. And you see the way Jesus talking about the Great Commission, go into all the world. He didn't say go into all of Israel. He said go into all the world and make disciples, because He gave access to everyone. But when we look from verses 11 to verse number 13, as you look here, Apostle Paul is telling us to remember 5 things that we were before Christ came. 5 things for us to remember. Number one, we were separated from Christ. Number two, we were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. Number three, we were strangers to the covenant promises of God. Number four, we were without hope. And number five, we were without God in this world. We were without God in this world. We didn't have access to God before Jesus. There was no way we could have entered into God's kingdom. We were a people under the wrath of God. But when you come to verse number 18, it says that through Jesus Christ, we have now access into the very presence of God. Can we just lift up our hands and just bless the Lord? I feel all excited, you know. He gave us free access. It's a beautiful thing. Today we have access into the very throne room of God. We don't have to separate ourselves and wait outside to go to God's presence. We have access to the very throne room of God. And He is the one who provided us this wonderful work of reconciliation. You know what? When you read a part of Matthew chapter 27, verses 50, you know that when Jesus died, the moment Jesus died on the cross, Jesus took away the separation from man to God. What happened? We read in Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 and 51. It says, Jesus cried out with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. There was a veil that was separating the Holy of Holies from the common people. Because only once in a year, the high priest had access to go into the Holy of Holies, into the very presence of God, where the tabernacle was kept. Only once in a year. And that was on the Day of Atonement. Only one time. People could only stand in the outer courts. And the Gentiles could stand in the courts of the Gentiles. And look with longing to that place where God's presence was there. They didn't have access. But when Jesus died, it says the veil was torn from top to bottom by God. God decided to tear up the veil so there is no more barriers between us and God. And He gave us access. What a wonderful, wonderful way. So next time when you think about prayer, remember, you have a free access to approach the throne of God. Now because of Jesus, we have a past. We have been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. We have a present. We are fellow citizens with the saints. We are members of the household of God. And third is we have a future. We have been built together to be in the presence of God forever. So let me tell you the first thing that Jesus did. He gave us access. Not only that Jesus gave us access. Number two. Turn to verse number 19. I want you to look at verse number 19. Not only Jesus gave us access, Jesus has given us family privileges. He made us a part of His family. It says here, and I want to give an example. Imagine the benefits of being a citizen of this country. One of the privileges is that you have a right to vote. And this November, we are going into the election time. We are going to vote for our president and for a party. That is a benefit of being part of a citizen of this country. You know, the same is true for God's kingdom. When we are part of God's kingdom, what do we get? Let me tell you, we get all the spiritual blessings from God. Devathinala sagala almiya anugrahangalum devan namakku therum. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. You know, when we are outside the family of God, we don't get that blessings. In verse number 19, it says that we are once strangers and foreigners to God's kingdom. But today, we are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. We are part of God's family. And not only we have the full access to God, we have all the benefits of being a member of God's family. What a great and wonderful thing. You know, we are all part of the family of God. The larger family. Our church we call as our church family. This is a smaller part of a larger family where God is our heavenly Father and we are all His children. We are part of God's family. And so let me tell you, the same is true in a local church. You know, what happens in a local church family? You are making a covenant with a group to enjoy all the privileges of being a member. And so today I want to tell you, if there is among you someone who has not committed to our local church, you are not desired to join as a member. You are staying at the outskirts and you say, I don't want to be a member of any church. I want to tell you this, that God has put you here
to be part of the local family. There is nothing like out of the walls. We are all in it together. And we have to be fully committed to what the church is advocating, and we are all to be together. And so let me tell you that if you are hesitating to be taking up a membership of a church, I want you to rethink over that, because God has brought you here. You are not to stay away. You are to be together as part of the local body, because that is what we are in for. To show yourself a part of the local body is to show yourself as part of the larger body, a larger body of God. And so think about that and make some decisions in your life to join the church. And the way you join the church is that you accept Christ and you obey His commandments with water baptism. That's the way you join the church, which was what happened on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 people joined the church when they received Christ and they took water baptism. That's how we join the church as well. So not only has Jesus provided us access, not only has Jesus given us family privileges, let me come to the third and the final one. Look at verses 20 to 22. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20 to 22. Jesus has become our cornerstone. He has become our cornerstone. You know, Apostle Paul is extending this picture a little bit. He's comparing us to a building now. He says we are a building that is a dwelling place of God through the Holy Spirit. God has already laid the foundations of that building through His apostles and prophets. Now, who are the apostles? They are sent by God to proclaim His message. Those are the apostles. The prophets are those who are telling the voice of God to the generation today. So on the apostles and the prophets, God has already established the building. And He is drawing people from every tribe, from every tongue, from every nation and every language today. He is grafting them to be a part of this building. One brick upon another. Every brick is important. Because one brick goes away, you know, the building starts shaking. Every brick, one on top of the other. Every brick has a particular job. Every brick is there to honor and glorify the Lord. But do you know the main thing? Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of this building. Which means that He is the one who sets the direction. He is the stability of the building. He is the one that assures that this building is going to last. The cornerstone is the main element of the stability of any building. And Jesus is our cornerstone. And He is the one that keeps the building stable. Because if you take out the cornerstone, you lose the building. So in the shifting world around us, everything seems to be changing. But I'm telling you, our church remains the same. Because Jesus said He is the same yesterday, today and forever. Can we just praise the Lord for that? Amen. Jesus will never change. The world will change. The world values will change. The governments will change. The culture will change. Everything changes, but Jesus will never change. And He's building His church today. And let me tell you the final part of what's going to happen. Let's think about the future. One day this building is going to be complete. God is going to complete the building. One day we will see the future before our very eyes. I want you to turn to one verse and I'm closing here. Turn to Revelation chapter 7. If you have your Bibles, I want you to open to Revelation chapter 7. I want you to pay attention of what we are reading there. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. Just two verses I want to read. Look at the people who are standing before God. After that, this is the words of Apostle John. After these things, I looked and behold a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands and crying with a loud voice saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. You know, the group of people who will be there, they'll be from every language, from every tribe, from every nation, from every group. People are all going to join in that great multitude.
One day we will be standing before the throne and declaring the praises of God for the salvation that He has done. You know, when we look at the eternity that is there before us, let us also change our perspective, the way that we look at somebody else outside the four walls. Somebody that we think, hey, he's a good for nothing. I'm not going to, you know, all that prejudices has to go away, because we have to look in the light of eternity. What a tremendous privilege we have been given to have access to God for all eternity. Let me ask you today before I'm closing here. If you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Because if you have not accepted the death and the burial of Jesus, if you don't believe that He died for your sins, if you die, you will spend your life and eternity without God. That's what the Bible says. Because we, each of us, have to decide for ourselves. We need to come to the Lord and totally surrender our hearts to the Lord. I want to encourage you, if there is anyone sitting here who has not asked the Lord to invited Jesus into your heart, I would invite you to do that. Can we all just stand up on our feet right now? As we look to Jesus as our cornerstone. You know, there is no one like Jesus. We are to worship the Lord. Everyone, let's all just close our eyes.